Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat. They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. We call that the Fan Sports Network.
Epa!
Epa!
And it's been a fun turn and burn show today. We talked about, for at length, what the hell was the matter with Drake May last night.
Jeez, oh Pete!
That guy sucks. Seattle wins despite Sam Darnold going down.
I finally found our first Boston media freak out on air. Ooh. I'm going to send this to Swag. We're going to have to pull this. I don't even know what he's saying.
We got a meltdown, a Boston meltdown, but somebody's yelling, arms are wailing all over the place.
I can just see his body language and the way his mouth
is moving. Is this a host or is this a caller?
I don't know. Sports Hub in Boston, which is a competitor of our sister station. It's somebody on their station. He is freaking out.
Okay.
At least on the video, muted. So I'll send this to Swag and we'll see what it looks like.
I'd be freaking out right now if I were a Pats fan a little bit. Yeah.
Why did you not freak out in college football? Just because it's not as...
Well, my team won, first off.
Yeah, not by a margin that felt very comfortable.
It's a difference between a win and a loss here. My quarterback didn't throw three picks on the last three possessions of the game to blow the game against a backup quarterback on the other side.
You're not wrong there.
Also, the last time we crowned a young quarterback as a top five up-and-comer, the following season his team fell off the face of the earth.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that tends to happen. In the NFL.
There's a difference between these. Like, this is one of the reasons I do at times. Like, I came in really high on Drake May, into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's going to take for us to learn our lesson of 1 year doesn't mean anything in the National Football League. Like, how many times do we have to go through that until we understand that, like, oh, just because C.J. Stroud had a good rookie year doesn't mean he's automatically a top five quarterback. Just because Jaden Daniels had a good rookie year doesn't mean he's a top five quarterback. And just because Drake May torched a bunch of bad football teams last year and had a really hard time against teams above 500 and was really bad for them in the playoffs doesn't mean he's in this category with some guy. Like, you can feel however you want about Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, who are the other guys in this category of guys, Jared Goff, guys who have been good for a long time consistently, right? Baker Mayfield's probably this a little bit now.
You know, Jared Goff this season's going to have played more seasons with the Lions than he did with the Rams,
which is mind blowing. Not going to lie to you, blew my mind a little bit.
Crazy.
Like, they might not be top five guys or guys that can carry football teams week in and week out. That doesn't really exist much in the NFL anyways.
Well, even when you have a top five guy,
it's not a guarantee.
What is Mahomes when his line's dinged up?
Exactly.
He has Tyreek Hill.
He's running for his life the entire game. It don't work out very well. And so we always rush to put this next guy into a category that they don't belong yet. And that's been one of the things that's bothered me about the way we talk about, especially May. Like, he was not the MVP of the league last year.
Yeah.
That was the easiest vote of all time. It was Matthew Stafford over him. But we had to have this fake debate late in the season. Is it actually Drake May? And let's see how it goes. Go do it again. That's great that you had a good year. You got to go do it again. And I don't know where the rest of the season's going to go, but it got off to a horrific start last night.
But on that, I would also follow up and ask this. What's interesting to me about this is it's one game. Let's wait and see how the season plays out. That draft class, right? Like, Caleb comes in, kind of struggles. They should have fired Eberflus. They didn't.
Before he even played a down in the NFL, they should have got Ben Johnson.
Gets redemption last year, but had a slow start out the gate. It wasn't pretty right away for their offense.
Yeah, come on hot at the end of the year.
So now we get to see what Caleb really is this year. Jaden has a great rookie year, goes to an NFC title game, and then can't stay healthy. And, oh, by the way, his team overinvests in age, and they crumble.
Yep.
Michael Penix isn't starting yet, but it's not been at all a good situation
horrific.
For him in Atlanta when they sign Kirkers, and then they bring in Tua.
When we were all wrong.
J.J. McCarthy is the third-string quarterback already and probably on the verge of getting cut by the Vikings within the next calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
And Bo Nix has this great, second season, gets to the AFC title game, breaks his ankle, doesn't get to play in it, and their over-under's 9.5. And I'm like, well, if that happens, it means what if the whole class? I don't know what to make of the draft class because some of them started good.
Power rank the draft class for me.
Exactly.
Who's your number one?
If I'm power ranking it right now, I'm going Caleb 1 because I think his ceiling is the highest.
Okay.
I'm going Bo 2.
I will acknowledge Caleb. He's gone up a notch in my book with the mustache. The mustache is a good look for him.
I just like...
It's a power stash.
You know what I like about him the most? I love when we make fun of whatever he does, crying his mom's arms on national television in a full helmet and uniform.
His poses for the uniform reveal.
Or paint his nails and then write like letters on his nails. I love it, but I also love how authentic he is to himself.
He is
will
himself.
Be who he is, and yep. He does not care what you think.
You're not wrong on that front.
I'd go Caleb, Bo, Drake. And that's mainly out of situation. Because I don't know what to make of Jaden's situation now with Washington, given what they were last year and how nobody likes their offensive line this year.
And maybe this is the year where they come out of nowhere similarly to 2 years ago when they surprise and they go to the playoffs again. And he stays healthy and has a really good year. He's had an interesting offseason, too, just in the whole LSU thing. Did you see the highlights? So they played Clemson in the opener on Saturday, and they did a pregame video thing where they're showing all the LSU players in their NFL uniforms, and it's, you know, LSU alumni or whatever, and they showed Jaden Daniels in the entire stadium booed
him. They booed him.
The entire stadium.
So he's already hated from the program that he won the Heisman at because of his weird threat against them and his number. And
if he has another bad year, his NFL fan base is going to hate him because that's how quickly we turn on people in the league.
That's the other thing about that class. This is year three.
Yep.
McCarthy's cooked.
No, he's done.
I tend to believe, even though I root for the guy, I think Penix is cooked as a starter.
It's over. Yeah, man.
Okay, so there's two guys. Scratch it right off.
Off the list.
Caleb, big year for the contract for him. Bo Nix, big year for the contract for him. If Jaden doesn't stay healthy and has a bad year,
you're not getting a deal.
He's going to be in the CJ Stroud category for Washington. They're going to keep playing that out until they need to pay him or move off of it.
Right.
Like, that class is in a weird position because, and Drake, right now, it's one game. They went to the Super Bowl last year. Let's be fair.
Sure, got
to
be fair there.
He could have a totally fine season. I don't think they're panicking. It's just an interesting draft class in general of, like, some slow starts, some redemptions in year two, some bad years in year two, and now here we are year three, and some of this stuff is starting to get sorted out for these guys.
You know, it's interesting now that we're on this topic because we're talking the whole idea of Oregon and they're having a, you know, national championship or bust type of season, according to Mel Kiper.
Them in Texas
was based off of mainly in that piece, and he's probably making the argument that who they got back at quarterback, right? Two guys who are going to be in the conversations to be the number one overall pick this upcoming season. And one of those guys, to your point, is not playing a super compelling game this weekend because they're on the road at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State did not look good last week. They struggled mightily against Tulsa and ended up losing the game. Their offensive line has a hard time. And so I'm going back and forth on the idea of the compelling nature of the game. I don't blame anybody for poo-pooing it. There's also that little, you know, ticker in the back of your head that's like, you know, always have your antenna up. You never know when one's going to come.
Rat poison.
And to be fair, like we came like a week ago, what were we saying about Oklahoma State? Like they're going to be a feisty team. Estimaker was really good. They got Eric Morris as this hot commodity. They were a playoff, you know, could they be a sleeper? Could they be this year's Indiana?
Right.
Like that's who they were literally a week ago. And now we've seen them play one time and it's like, they're the worst football team of all time.
Yeah.
Maybe they are terrible this year. I'm also just not going to quite go there after week one. But to the point of the conversation we're having about guys in the NFL and their evaluations, there is a player this weekend, and I was watching a podcast yesterday by Kevin Clark and some others who were talking about this, who has just, think about the amount of pressure on his shoulders. The primetime game on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. We get Texas, Ohio State, round two.
Julian Sain, I can't believe the pressure that's on him.
Julian Sain and Arch Manning, two guys who have a chance to be first-round picks and top-10 picks, two guys who played horrifically in this game last year. It's one of the worst college football games we've seen in a while. To be fair to them, it's week one, both very good defensively.
Well, one was a true freshman, and one was getting his first, like, real start
note. So yes, and a lot of pressure that goes into it.
Pass, yeah.
No doubt about it, and now this is like... For Dante, and I said this coming into the year, there's only so many games that you're going to be able to accurately judge. I didn't think he played great last week. I gave him a B+, I think, on the performance. He threw for 370 yards and three touchdowns, right? And that's against one of the tougher teams probably on your schedule, Sands and Ohio State, a USC, and a, you know, maybe somebody else later down the road. These are the games that you evaluate. And that for that angle and that reason, I certainly thought Arch came on strong at the end of the year. I don't know what to make of Julian Sain because he's throwing the ball to Jeremiah Smith, and that's an easy world to live in.
Yeah.
But just what they both look like this weekend, outside of just the playoff conversation and the pressure on the coaches' conversation and all that, I'm really curious to see how those quarterbacks fare because that game last year was a snoozer until the last 3 minutes of the game.
So let me ask you this. Who is your favorite quarterback that's going to be in the draft next year?
To, like if I were a team that I would want to go get?
Like, I was thinking last weekend with some of this stuff. Like, I didn't catch most of Texas, but I saw a little bit of that.
But it's Texas
Ohio
State.
State's playing like, Ball State. Like, I'm not, right. You know, I'm not following, oh, he threw 5 touchdowns or whatever.
It's
like
52-0 in halftime.
I thought Dante was also good, not great. I'd give more of a B, right in the middle of a B. Certainly had some great plays and also... Mm-hmm.
Missed some guys.
I find him to be the most odd one of all of them. And I'm not saying that for controversy's sake. I just legitimately watch Dante, and I'm like, you know, I don't know how to feel about it from a pro prospect thing.
Yeah.
But I don't need to make those decisions.
Thankfully, yeah. Be a tough one.
I don't know how in love with some of the biggest names in the draft class I am. And I think that's the weird thing, is it last year it's kind of poo-pooed. This year it's this draft class, right? You start rattling off who it is and who's going to be in it, and I don't know which one really stands out to me. And look, we're not draft evaluators to the sense of making the decisions here, but
sure.
Like every year you have a guy you love, right? Like at the top of a class. Some years it's obvious. Other years you roll the dice on a guy. Some years it might be a Josh Allen, a Drake May. Other years it could be maybe you love Jaden Daniels because he was awesome. And hey, it's awesome year one, and or Caleb Williams.
Right.
This is an odd one to me. And I'm with you on the matchup of like which quarterback will not – looked rattled by the moment and kind of the pressure of what the situation is of like, you can afford to lose the game, but it just makes your season that much harder if you do lose.
Because both of them have very difficult schedules after this.
And so, like, is Arch going to throw a real costly pick? Is Julian Sangin going to look how he looked in this game? And the Big Ten title game, by the way.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
Yeah, Indiana had a damn good defense, and we know that. But yes, you're right.
So it's like, which one is going to rise to the occasion? But just in the general conversation of these guys, I have no idea who I think the best one is. And there's a lot of people that do think they know who the best one is. And I don't. I don't watch any of them and go, wow, he's knocking my socks off here. That's right. The guy I'd want my team to draft. And I don't even know if my team's going to be in the running for it. But that's kind of where I sit with the quarterbacks for this class.
It'll be interesting to see how many NFL people are in Austin this weekend, because it's just like the point of the Arch Manning angle was essentially NFL scouts and GMs are obviously super high on him and his tangibles, size, speed, arm strength, all of that. He played great at the end of last year, but there's like, yeah, we got it. You got to do it, though, against an all. Like, we need to see it against a team like this. And you didn't really see that much from him last year. By the way, I forgot to mention on Saturday, you know who's walking around the sideline at Austin? Totally random. I'm like, is that? Yeah, it is. Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, just cruising around the sideline. And I'm like, oh, that's right. They haven't played yet. They don't start till next week. I always want to walk up to them.
The talent Dan Lanning is providing NFL.
And I know that it's not a simple
line
answer.
I bet you he's scouting the defensive line.
I would next. I mean, I don't. They're always in. They got their little notebooks
you
and they're taking
go
stuff
talk
down.
To
I'm
them.
Like, who are you here to watch? Like, who's the number one on your big board? Why are you? Because is there somebody on boys that you want to see?
Who's number one on their big board?
Give me the deets, Ryan Poles. Who do you got,
but, like,
buddy?
If you went up to Ryan Poles, you said, "Hey, Ryan, I'm so and so. I do a radio show. We cover the Ducks. I just wanted to
who you eyeballing, huh? Who you looking at?"
Well, I mean, you could get great off-air conversations with some of these guys. They do like to talk football.
It was a double take. I'm standing down around the end zone, and I'm like, wait, is that? I think that's Ryan Poles. That's right. Because the GMs themselves, that's pretty rare. Usually scouts are all over the place.
The big programs, you get the general manager.
The actual GM being there is not a thing that happens all the time.
So, here's the thing on the game itself, Ohio State, Texas. So the Saiyan Arch thing here. I think I've firmly landed in only one of these guys can get away with a mediocre to not great game.
Saying?
No.
You think Arch gets more benefit of the doubt?
It's far and away Arch. Arch will get the benefit vastly more than Julian Saiyan will. If Julian Saiyan, who a lot of people even last year with his numbers were like, is he great or was he feasting on bad teams and struggling against good teams?
Right.
But he's a freshman. Even if he has a good game, people are still going to wonder. If Arch has a great game or a good game, people are going to go, there he is. If he has a bad game, you and I might be throwing out like, But what are NFL guys going to really talk themselves out of a Manning?
No.
He gets the last name benefit. He's going to be able to get a pass.
That's a fair point.
If he has a 2-pick game.
I think it's the point of like, are you going to be a top 5 pick or is somebody going to take a flyer on you at the end of the first round or middle of the first round? Because I think what you're saying is
valid. And I think people are going to talk themselves into it when the draft gets here.
And maybe that is
true,
yeah.
You know, it's a Manning. What did Eli do in college?
Right.
He was great, but was he great every year?
Right.
Like, he's going to get the benefit because of the last name, where I think the other guy's going to be... Maybe he should stay another year, you know, if he doesn't play particularly well in this game.
To your point on Dante, it is unique because I see him and I understand why the conundrum exists. He has great arm talent. He has incredible touch. He makes throws that make you oh my God, what a throw. And then he has moments where it's like, are you processing what you're seeing right now? Like,
that's my concern.
What's going on up here? Are you not? Why are you locking on to that guy? And look, yes, that's true of every quarterback, right? They're going to have highs and have lows. So I don't blame anybody for being wishy-washy on him as an NFL prospect. The most exciting college quarterback and the guy that I think is poised for a very big year, although he did turn the ball over a little bit in week one, you know how I feel about Trinidad Chambliss. Him and the NFL is a different conversation.
But that's more how I view it, is the NFL conversation.
He reminds me a lot of the Cam Ward, Caleb Williams stuff that I had an issue with coming out, and that is so much of what you do, I don't know if it's you can translate it to the NFL.
Off script.
It's off script. It's out of the pocket. It's scrambling around, extending plays, and that's awesome for college football because these guys are not as elite as Myles Garrett chasing you down. It's just a different ball game. The guy that I would be highest on right now as an NFL GM, because I've seen him I shouldn't say yet because he's only on one game into his new team, but I've seen him do it at two levels, and I think he's going to do it at a third level, and that is Darian Mentz at Miami. He shows up at Tulane as a true freshman, starts, has 22 touchdowns, 6 picks, plays awesome.
He looks so good.
Transfers to Duke, where they're not great around him, and they showed because they'd lost some games where they gave up a ton of points and all that. Still, there's 34 touchdowns, 6 picks, completing 67% of your passes for basically 4,000 yards.
He's also 6'3", over big. 200 pounds. That's a really important part
here. He can
here.
Move. He's mobile. Like, that's the one that I would say, that's the guy that I feel best at, because I've seen it I've seen you go through struggles. I've seen you overcome bad defenses.
Right.
I've seen the ups and downs of your career, and I would be over the moon about him as an NFL prospect.
The names you get in this list here, as I'm bringing up one of these pre-draft thing, like obviously Dante messed a maker this weekend, and I certainly think he had such an awful debut.
Going back and
Oklahoma
watching
State
it,
guy.
It's also hard for him of like, dude, their offensive line was so bad.
I get it.
He might have the best arm talent in the world. If you got no time to throw the football, there's nothing you could do.
But you get kind of punished for it, right? Because if you don't have film I can really lean on because your line stunk, how can I really properly evaluate? I can't go to North Texas.
No.
But also, some of these guys end up popping out of programs that we don't talk about or follow closely.
Yeah, totally fair.
Right? Like, I said this about Dante, like, some of what you see from Dante this year very well could say, well, he took this leap in this and that category. I'd also say the circumstances are so good in Eugene with the weapons and the line and the running backs.
Throwing it to DeCorian, who's wide open, who makes two guys miss and takes it the rest of the way.
You
for
got some
touchdown.
Of the best pass protection in the country, right? And so sometimes it's the guys. Like, Jaden Mayava may end up being the best quarterback of all these guys. One guy that's on this that nobody's really talked about, according to the draft pundit, C.J. Bailey at NC State. He's a 6'6 cat.
Dude,
he's over 215 pounds.
Talk about rough starts to your year. He was horrendous.
Exactly.
That was such a bad game.
I totally understand, but he's a name that like people circle. Notre Dame quarterback.
Yeah.
C.J. Carr, also 6'2", 215, kind of thick. Might end up having the kind of season that makes you number one. So
he looked fine this weekend. Not out of this world, but he looked fine.
I didn't think he was stellar, but Wisconsin's not an overly great team. So I got the audio if you want to play it.
Oh, that's all. We'll get back into that. We'll hold that for a little bit later on in the show because I do want to get back into that Seattle-New England game a little bit. We'll have some more thoughts on the 49ers and the Rams. I'm contemplating.
Oh.
Sniffing.
Oh, are we
a Thursday springing a line bet.
Springing early this week?
Is there? What's the over-under?
Because
that was the easiest 48
and a half.
Last night was 48. I was kicking myself for not betting that last night.
I kind of want to bet the under. Are the Rams going to be electric after? Are the Niners?
There's no Donald. There's no Bosa. Likely.
Can the Niners field a team, or are they all going to get hurt pre-game?
Are they available?
Can we say this real quick? I know we need to go.
Yes.
I can sympathize with New England fan on this. Is there anything worse? Knowing how long the season is. But being so amped about the start of it, and then your team starts 0-1.
It's actually funny because for the majority of the game, I was thinking to myself, this has to be one of the most depressing championship night
games
ever.
Yeah, for the Seahawks. Like, all the airway went out of the
building. Your quarterback gets hurt five plays into the game.
It's 10-0 going to the fourth quarter.
It's 10-0. You barely can't get over midfield the first three quarters of the game. They couldn't do anything.
They didn't until the second quarter.
Thank you.
They didn't take a snap in New England's territory until the second quarter.
You know, you're watching games, you're kind of brewing takes. You're like, what are we going to talk about tomorrow? And I'm like, this has got to be depressing, right?
Well, I think you're right in
And then the whole thing switched because May kept throwing picks, and you're like, oh my God, they won the game. And now to your point. Is that that's a pretty depressing way to start your season for New England.
Okay, so here it is very, very quickly.
I mean, the year I got bounced in the Survivor pool by Kansas City and Alex Smith, they went into New England and knocked off the Pats. I remember that one. That was tough. That was the Kareem Hunt game. He ran all over them.
Why is this? I went to NFL opening games the last 10 seasons, and it just rattles off. Yeah, okay, this is just stats of teams of the 10
years.
No, that's
not helping us.
The kickoff game is always...
Because it's your banner night, it's your championship night. The other one that stands out to me was the... Remember the Eagle fans after the full Super Bowl? They booed them off the field at halftime. I think they were playing Atlanta, and it was like 10-0 or 7. Well, it was a low-scoring game. They booed them off the field, so... It was trending that way for Seattle, and then Drake May said, here's a pick and a pick and a pick. There you go, a little college football NFL combo in that segment. We'll get back into Oregon and Oregon State in a little bit and also some fun with audio. Magic Hat in the final hour of the show, a little bit more on the Thursday night game. Let's get to our big pack picks, though. How did we do last week? Not good. Only a couple of dubs out there. Can we get better this week? We'll make those next on the Fan. All righty, welcome back in. It is 8:29. We got the Magic Hat coming up at the top of the hour. I have, is there a coach out there doing what Mike Gundy did last year? Are we pocket watching too much? We'll talk about that in a moment. But before we do, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the award-winning Big PP Picks. Hello, good morning. It's 8:29. Let's make some picks, damn it.
I forgot this was a thing again.
Don't you forget it, baby. Don't you forget it. It's a gift that keeps on giving. You show up on a Thursday, you know what you're going to get? Big PP Picks.
Will it continue when you're out? I don't know.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I'll pick up the ball there.
You'll pick up the ball there. You'll run it. You're going to run that one in.
And will we have back-to-back weeks of zero contribution to the Magic Hat from Jason Swigart?
Yes, you will.
Yes.
Nothing has happened in your life.
Nothing going on in your life?
Radio station at all?
Not really.
Nah, nothing going on.
I'm just trying to maintain the household. The wife's gone 4 nights a week doing rehearsals. I'm trying to keep
everything
up. You
have no kids.
Yeah.
What are you maintaining?
You know what he's doing?
Yourself?
He's eating a lot of pork is what he's doing.
What do you need to maintain? If I had a week to myself in my house, my house would be in tip-top
shape.
Go
to my dad every day after the show, see how he's doing, and
check
help
in.
Him.
But
get
what
a
are you doing at your house? Keep your house in order. What does that mean?
Making pork.
Laundry.
You're alone. It's your laundry.
How long is laundry? Laundry, come on.
You wear the same 8 things.
Come on. Get out of here.
You're golfing every day. You
no,
stop
I'm
it.
No, I'm definitely not golfing
you
every
stop
day.
Stop it.
He's smoking pork
I got
butts.
Shrimps to throw on the Barbie, though, tonight.
Hey, there you go.
By the way, you're saying the Timber name wrong.
Christopher Velde.
No, it's Velda.
Okay.
That's according to Timber Patrick.
Timber Patrick is saying.
It's like, dude, it's Velda, not
Velda.
Velde.
Zelda?
Velda.
Zelda, Velda?
Also, shout out the Timbers for a big dub over St. Louis City
FC. No, they
FC.
Got a draw.
A draw? Actually, makes
what are we doing here?
Makes it make sense.
Why are they St. Louis City?
I don't know.
SC, by the way.
Soccer Club. St. Louis City Soccer Club.
That's is the dumbest name in the history of sports.
Is there a state called St. Louis?
I thought Guardians was always going to take the cake, and then I heard that.
Yeah.
That's easily the worst name in the history of sports.
I mean, no disrespect.
City?
You cannot play on an NFL night. I just won't even know you play.
No, yeah.
I learned this morning that they play.
Oh, how about that? All righty, here we go. Last week, it was ugly. I went 0-3. Thank you.
Nice.
Hot out of the gate.
Drake May-like performance.
Red hot out of the gate.
Good job.
You two gentlemen are on the board with a dub.
Yeah, well, thanks to the Beavs.
You trusted your Beavers to cover, and they covered pretty easily.
Well, easy to trust.
We all took Oregon, and we all took Washington, and that's a... So here we go.
I'm kicking myself over the Oregon one. I still think they should have won by a wider margin, but that was a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. And Boise's always like, will we remember that the next time when they play Boise? And the spread's like 31.5.
I want to interrupt the segment.
Yeah.
How many teams in college football, if they played Boise at home, would you confidently pick to have covered that number?
After ooh, what 23.5?
After what you saw. I think LSU does.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would.
It's okay to say it. I mean, you know, I don't know if LSU is going to be the best team in college football.
I think Clemson's literally broken. So there's part of that. That's part of the problem.
Don't tell
too.
Dabo; he'll call
don't
you
worry.
Out at the press conference.
We got the audio of that. We'll get to that in a moment. Here we go. So 1-2 for you, gentlemen. 0-3 for me, Sprague. I'll give you the T-box first because you
thanks.
Won last year.
Thanks.
Right out of the gate, you know what channel it's on? It's on TNT. How about ooh. The Cougs going on the road?
Hello.
Fun trivia question.
These channels they're playing on, I kind of like it.
Do you know who Washington State is playing this weekend?
Absolutely.
Who they got?
Tell them.
Swag, do you know who won? You probably do. You probably
Kansas State.
They're on the road to Kansas State
That's
this weekend.
That's a fun game.
9 a.m. on TNT. Charles Barkley on the call. Maybe, maybe not.
9 a.m.
The line right now I saw, because it's not at A-Lane,
17
and a half.
It is at A-Lane. I'm staring at
How
it.
How is it at A-Lane? I thought you couldn't gamble on Washington teams.
I don't
still
know.
Give you
I'm
lines.
Staring at it.
Is it 17 and a half?
17 and a half.
Yeah, 17 and a half. Who you got?
I know nothing about Kansas State, and I'm going to give you an even better take. I know nothing about Washington State, and I watched their entire first game. Give me Washington State with the defense keeping it closer than 17 and a half.
Kansas State in week one played Nichols of Oregon State fame.
Yeah.
Nichols State.
It's Nichols. It's Nichols.
They
now.
Dropped the state?
The
they
state's
dropped
gone.
The state. It's just Nichols or Nichols
the
University or something.
Talk about words
Two
that
L's,
are hard to pronounce. Colonels, spelling of it.
Yeah. Why is
Colonels?
There an L in there?
What are we doing here? 71-3 was the final.
I always want to call them Colonials.
The Colonials?
When I see Colonel.
Yeah. The Nichols Colonials?
I'll take Washington State plus the 17 and a half.
Taking the Cougs. Yeah. Okay, Jason Swaggart.
Washington State really can't score, so I will take Kansas State.
Yeah, I think they got up for that rivalry game last week. Their offense, if they can't complete forward passes, is going to have a really hard time. And without 78 penalties from the Huskies, I don't think they score a point last week.
You know, it also is a 9 a.m. kick for Wazoo.
Early body clock time. Are you changing? Are you flip-flopping? Are we already flipping?
Well, we already even know get to the next game? Weather. I mean, is it going to be 104 in Kansas? I mean, the weather.
I'm seeing 80 degrees and sun for kickoff.
Yeah, but that's 80 degrees that feels like 95 with their humidity.
It's sticky.
It's sticky.
It's a sticky heat.
That's
I'm going to stick. With my pick.
Okay. There's no shade where that stadium is also on that campus. It's just wide open.
I will, with the RIP Optimus Prime, I will take Optimus Klein to go 2-0. Did you remember that Colin Klein is the Kansas State head coach now?
Actually, I knew that because I follow a Modern Family actor on Instagram and he shouted him out.
I love that.
You know
trivia.
The guy who plays Cam?
Yeah, he's a Kansas
he's
State guy.
He's a huge Kansas State guy. That's funny. And a Chief fan that he shouted out Colin Klein because he took
Stone
a photo
Street
with him.
Is Stone, his
Street.
Last
Stone, Stone Street. Stone Street. That sounds right. All right, I'm on Kansas State. Next one up, same time actually, is Oregon. Will it start on time, though? That's the big question right now. The line at A-Lane for Oregon at Oklahoma State, 9 a.m. game on ESPN, is Oklahoma State plus 23.
Give me the Ducks.
Give me the Ducks in a...
Lanning loves to respond.
Run it up, leave no doubt.
That might as well have been porn for Dan Lanning watching that film about Boise.
You're not wrong. I will also take Oregon. I always try and find the faults in the logic, though. The last time Oregon had a really sluggish week one game was against Idaho. What happened the next week?
They played Boise State.
Well, they
State.
Played a better team than Oklahoma
they
State.
Did. They did. But this, we all said the same thing out. Of like, oh, they'll bounce. This will be the bounce back week. They're going to kill them. And then it was they needed a kick return for a touchdown.
Maybe a hot take.
But I would take Oregon minus 23 as well.
Your population is below 100,000. You shouldn't be allowed to name your city Manhattan. What a joke.
The Little Apple.
Get out of here.
Little Apple is a great city nickname, though. It is a great city
Call
nickname.
Call yourself the Little Apple. That would be funny.
That was fun having a Manhattan in Manhattan.
You got to. Next up, 12:30 on the Big Ten Network. Talk about bad Pac-12 teams. This is one of them. Utah State blows. That's one of the few things I feel like I know
Give
about your
Huskies.
Conference. Washington at home. Now, correct me. I didn't see it on A-Lane either.
I got
26
it.
And a half?
26 and a half.
Okay, 26 and a half,
Give
Washington.
Give me the Huskies. Utah State is
Laying the
worst
wood.
Team in that conference.
Swag?
Yeah, I'll lay that wood.
Where's the pucker if this one's uncomfortable?
What if this is Montana?
Oh, I think Jed Fish, I don't know who his number two quarterback is, but
don't
I think,
you tease me with a good time like that. How dare you?
Dude, if DeMond got benched at halftime,
I think
two,
Jed was so livid at the end of that first half.
Was he mad at DeMond or the offensive line, though?
I think he was mad at everybody, but at some point, he's just going to go.
Do we like the head coach throwing the headset on the ground?
Yes.
It. Even though another staffer is the guy that has to pick it up?
Yes.
If so matches, technically, you're being a D to one of your coworkers?
If it matches my energy.
Yeah, you like
yes.
it?
If okay. I'm just as irate that you couldn't get a push on a yard with Washington State.
It was funny. Husky fans pushed. Like Husky, that pissed some Husky fans off on social media.
What did?
Well, because there's a team staffer that's responsible for grabbing his stuff at the end of the half as he runs into
You're
the
not
locker room.
About that.
And now
You're,
this guy's yeah. like, what a douche, dude. No. Now he's got to pick all your stuff up off the ground.
You know, back in my day, by the way.
Yeah, back
besides,
in
that
time,
was the last play of the half, too. I mean, it's not like
he was taking it off either way. Yeah.
We didn't have headset coach. What are we doing?
We have too many coaches.
Why do we need headset coach?
Hold me back guy. You need hold me back
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, grab the belt loop. Grab the belt loop
Get him back. Get him back.
You must
Does Lanning's got one of those guys, doesn't he?
It's usually the strength staff guy. It's usually the Wilson Love or whatever that person is at your school. I too will take Washington. Utah State below.
You must be an all-time drink getter behind the scenes, because how do you get that job? Give me a beer. You got it.
Stat. Last but not least, the final game of the Big Pack Picks will be your Oregon State Beavers. They are on CBS. Is this the Nestler?
I think
Charles Davis game?
No, or, that's usually the 12:30 game.
So it must be whatever their secondary crew is.
Whatever the secondary crew is.
Texas Tech is in Corvallis this weekend. One of the villains of college football, Cody Campbell's bringing his rich ass into town. And your Beavers are getting 26.5 points at home. Can they cover again?
Is this the Tony Romo rehab game? You want to come back, Tony? Earn your spot.
You're going to see him at the top of the cock over the weekend? Uh-oh, he's here. Get him out of here.
That'd be a red flag.
Show that to TMZ.
If Romo's like, I'm at the top of the cock.
He's out stumbling around Tristing Tree out there.
Dude, Tony.
If Tony Romo is stumbling on Monroe, we have problems. We've got real problems.
Calm down, Tony.
Where was Tony? He was at Bombs Away until 2 a.m. Oh, no.
Sounds a little sluggish on the broadcast today. 26.5 is your line. 26.5.
Swag, where do we find who's on the broadcast?
I'm looking for the game notes, and they couldn't be more difficult to find on their damn website.
There has to be somebody of note on this game. It's a 4:30 kick.
Yeah, I am not seeing, by the way, a 12:30 CBS kick.
It's 4:30.
I know, I'm saying, but usually the CBS, that's what I'm saying, it might be Nestler and Davis.
All right, hang on here.
Because I'm not, unless it's an unranked matchup.
I found the notes, I'm pulling up the notes, you guys make your picks.
Who's more likely to be at the top of the cock, Nestler or Davis?
Nestler. With no, no like first-hand knowledge of that.
Rich Waltz and Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly's calling a Beaver game?
Would you rather run into Brian Kelly or Tony Romo at the top of the cock?
If you see Brian Kelly at the top of the cock, can somebody please say, Brian, how's your family?
Poll questions.
Do they like spending more time with you? Is your family happy you're around
town?
I'm
just going to post, out of context, if nobody is familiar with the history, will Brian Kelly be at the top of the cock?
That's going to piss somebody off, but I love it.
Yes or no?
All right, 26.5. Mississippi State, Minnesota, by the way, is your 12:30.
There
I found
go.
It finally. Your 12:30
that's
CBS
the game kit. We all wanted to see.
Your SEC Big Ten showdown.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Are you guys covering the spread? Pick the game.
They're covering.
They're covering?
Texas Tech only put up 33 last week.
So here's
against
an interesting
nobody.
Interesting note. I'm going to pick against my team here.
Okay.
Mainly out of a respect to the defense of Texas Tech.
Certainly good.
We're getting the two quarterback thing, and I think eventually we're going to get a sub.
Castellanos.
McGuire's already maintained because he played a little bit in the Abilene Christian game. He basically was talking about how Castellanos gives him more versatility. Not good for old Will and William Hammond. I think Castellanos will end up taking this job, but give me Texas Tech minus the 26.
I doubted your team last week, even though I was the highest on them coming into the season of anybody on the show, which was a dumb move on my part.
God bless the Beaver.
I'm not doing it again, man. Reese's going to be rocking. 4:30 kick. Texas Tech and all your money. Shove it, Cody Campbell. Give me the Beavs plus 26.5. There's your Big Pack Picks. Every Thursday, we'll spray. Remember next week, time will tell. You have to tune in to find out. Speaking of that game, did your coach just go Mike Gundy? Next on The Fan. All righty, welcome back in. It is 8:47. Happy Thursday morning, everybody. We'll have some more on the Australia NFL game in the final hour of the show. I've decided to not spray the line on it, but I will be betting
you
one side.
You coward.
I know. I like three other bets a little bit more this upcoming weekend. First edition of full spraying the line will be tomorrow. Can't wait for that. Magic Hat right around the corner. We were just talking about your Beavs. They take on Texas Tech this weekend. I'm curious to see how that game goes. They certainly... I think it was a positive surprise out of week one of like, hey, look at that. They're in the game in the fourth quarter. That's all kind of all you could ask for. Some people will laugh at the moral victory notion of it, but what the hell, dude? The last couple of years have been rough. Now the competition level will increase, but it's your home opener. So we'll see what the crowd is game one for Shepherd at home in Corvallis. This happened, I believe this was on Monday at his press conference is when this went down. And I'm wondering, Texas Tech folks have seen this.
Well, he was asked, do you look at Texas Tech and say, we can also build this because they seemingly were a nothing program
for a while.
They came
out of, they were nothing down in the dumps.
And they just jumped out of nowhere. Joey McGuire gets the job as a high school guy. So that's where the origin of this answer is from.
Remember Mike Gundy last year coming into Eugene, he was pocket watching. Dan Lanning did not like that, and they hung 69 on him. Sometimes pocket watching can be tough when you start talking about amount of money in other people's wallets and how much they have to spend on their team.
Yeah, coaches tend not to like that, and it's why we got this.
And they got their ass whooped. Here is Jamarcus Shepherd earlier this week.
Well, I mean, certainly I think that there's this idea that they've just acquired all this talent for overnight, but I also think that the head coach has to do a good job of building a culture where players want to play for him. And so that's the one thing I've noticed about Coach McGuire. It seems like his team wants to play for him. But I'll also say this, you know, it is a little bit easier and you have a little bit more want to when, you know, you don't have to worry about if mom or dad has to pay their light bill or their rent or if they're going to be able to get a flight to come to the game or get a hotel room, Airbnb, whatever it is. That makes it a little bit easier for those guys to want to play a little bit harder for the coach.
I don't think it's that controversial. Seems pretty simple to me.
So what's controversial about it? The fan base is
Texas,
freaking out?
Texas Tech fans are not taking kindly to this. Did
Why?
He did
they
he pocket
money.
Watch?
What are we doing?
I don't know.
Like, what are we doing that exists in a world? Like, last year we did the Mike Gundy thing, and I'm not a Mike Gundy guy in any way.
So they spent $40 million on their roster. So I keep my name out your mouth.
I guess you're crossing an invisible line that exists to only one spectrum of profession. Don't talk about our roster. It's like, we all know you're spending millions of dollars. Now, Lanning felt how he felt because Lanning does a good job of not diving into people's situations. So I
and coaches will also use anything they can for motivation.
I also, yeah, he wanted to say this. Also, could have not said it, and they still would have whooped their butts. Yeah. But what is he saying that's so egregious? You have a billionaire openly, loudly telling you, I'll pay for a cancellation of a game and schedule Texas tomorrow. I'll bring in a gambling addict as my quarterback. I'll fight all the lawsuits. Like, I don't know what we're doing here getting mad. He's not wrong. You need money to compete. You need money to win. It's what the sport basically tells you to do. It's why we have $50 million rosters and $35 million rosters and $40 million rosters, because that's what it takes to compete at a high, high level.
It is interesting. Like last week, or coming out of this last weekend, we talked about earlier in the week how Western Michigan has kind of become America's team, the way that they were screwed over and the conference is responding and all that. Like, that was such a shocking ending, and oh my God, how did they put a second back on? Like, how do you not root for Western Michigan the rest of the way? That's a unique thing about this game this weekend. It might have been swept a little bit under the rug because of how controversial the SEC and LSU has been, but Cody Campbell is one of the most vocal people on social media. He's ranting and raving against politicians and their support or lack of support over a funding bill and the Save College Sports Act and all that nonsense. He, to your point, threatening to, you know, we'll pay for this buyout, we'll go schedule this team. He had the quotes coming into the season, we'll remember your name in the Big 12 when we're up by 40 and still throwing the ball. There is a unique angle of Oregon State being a very easy team, I think, nationally to root for this weekend on a national network, on CBS. Now, you're at the same time as Texas, Ohio State, so it'll be a little bit lost in the shuffle. That'll probably be one that people are checking, you know, see what the score is, see the score. Oh, look at that. If it's close, then you flip over. I'm excited, man. We'll have more on the game tomorrow. I think they certainly exceeded expectations for a lot of people in week one, and you got a quarterback throw for nearly 400 yards in his debut as, what, a redshirt freshman or a redshirt sophomore, whatever he is. And now you get to come home and take on a team who doesn't really know what their offensive identity is. Only, you know, kind of struggled their way to 30 points in game one. Their defensive line is as good as it gets in the sport. Nobody's going to disagree with that. But can you move the ball a little bit through the air on them, and can your defense hold them down and make this game competitive going into the second half? That was the thought last week going into it. They did it, and now we get to see if they could do it again at home. And I'm excited to see what they look like against maybe Boise ends up being it, but it's a 1A, 1B of who is the best team that you're playing all season long. It's either Texas Tech or it's Boise State, at least in my mind right now. Houston's fine, but I maybe wouldn't put Boise State a little bit ahead of them currently, and so I'm curious to see how they handle that this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the best team they're going to play this year is Texas Tech. I feel pretty comfortable in saying that. Boise had a great game against Oregon. They still lost the game. You can't compete with what Texas Tech is putting out on defense. And I don't know about their offense. That's the big question mark for them. It was last year, and we saw what Oregon's defense did to it. They tried to address the position of need because they didn't trust Will Hammond to come in and be the starter. Didn't work out for him. And, oh, by the way, added Thomas Castellanos because, well, their quarterback thing is dicey.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect offensively from Tech because they only scored the 33. What I would just say about this, and I know, as you mentioned, we'll dive into it tomorrow, it's just going to be so, so important with what I think might be, and I'm fingers crossed on this, a full Reser Stadium. What that's going
to
look like. I'm imagining Tech fans going to travel in for this to support their team. Mitch Dolan, it's going to be so important for them to put something together right away. Because if they can do that and they can have a good drive, whether that's 7 or 3 even, you're going to, okay, here we go. We got a little juice here. Here we go. We're more prepared, ready to fight this defensive pass rush because that offensive line looked terrible against Houston. I can't fathom what it's going to look like against Tech. If you can get off to a good start, and you kind of you initiate some belief. And I know they got off to a slow start, but Tech is much better than Houston, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, like, for your own sake, I think we need to see a really good plan of attack out the gate because the last thing you want is Tech to get in there quick 3 and out. Decimate the offensive line.
Yeah.
This could be a long day. That's the concern and worry I have going into it.
I'll use the Oregon Boise comp in that regard of like when you're close and in contact score wise, you can stay balanced offensively, and that makes you more challenging to defend. If you're down and you're having to throw your way back into that game, and that defensive line knows you're going to throw the football to get back into the game, that's when they just tee off on you. We saw that late in the Oregon-Boise game when their balance was gone and they had to throw the football. They basically couldn't get a pass off late in the game. You got to have balance early, find a way to run the football on early downs. I'm excited, man. It should be fun. I don't know why Texas Tech fans got butthurt about that, but they did, and now maybe Shepherd can go out and surprise everybody again. Texas Tech is in town this weekend. We got a lot to get to. In the final hour of the show, we got a game 2 of the NFL slate in Australia tonight. A few more college football audio nuggies. We'll see if we have time for those. Might kick them to tomorrow if we need to. We'll start, though, with the Magic Hat on a Thursday. Final hour next on The Fan.